KKFT. It's the Monica J Show on 99.1 FM Talk. We've kind of shut down the talk lines for right now, but I want you to understand that I can't take everybody with me at different times. So to places like the Truckee River, as we, you know, walk along and talk to the homeless, talk to the people who say it's okay, it's their right to be out there, that, you know, people like Paul White are vigilante and they're just trying to give them the bum's rush or fulfill them with biblical quotes and, you know, beliefs. And it's just not true. So I'm taking you on the walk. I'm letting you hear for yourself what we went through on Saturday. We started out at 9 a.m. and we didn't get done until 10:30. So we took our time, but we kept walking, and it's a little bit of what we saw, the people who were with us. We had about 30 people with us. People were coming and going, activists, people who needed help. I couldn't even bring you the whole show. I couldn't even bring you the entire time that we were there. There was just so many people wanting to get their voice heard. So here are the voices that we were able to bring you here on the Monica J Show on KKFT. Let's go back to the river. So Terry, one of the guests joining us out here on the walk down Broadhead Park. We're just trying to walk down Broadhead Park, and we've already been attacked and threatened right in our face, and people blocking us trying to walk through the path. And what we're doing is just showing part of the problem. What do you think about what you're seeing down here?
Well, it's a mess. We're going to turn into Sacramento, San Francisco, Seattle real quick if we don't put a stop to it. The people I've seen so far down here that have confronted us, the last guy, he got extremely violent. You can tell that was a gentleman that's not homeless. He's here because he chose to burn his brains out with methamphetamines.
Or some form of drug. I mean, we don't know that for sure, but
yeah, what drug I don't know, but you can tell his brain is gone. We got this guy coming up here with the mask on again that's going to yell and scream at us and swear at us. This group's willing to give him help, and they don't want it, and they can get jobs tomorrow, but they can't pass the drug test.
Oh, now we're bringing in the native land argument, so.
Oh,
you know,
Christ.
It's even though the city has and the taxpayers have paid for this trail to have everything put together, people aren't allowed to use it. And Terry, what I find really hard to believe as well is the fact that you see that white building there with the three stories as we look onto the other side of the road. That's the Reno Police Headquarters.
Yeah, you know, and you're shocked that this goes on, and this is all illegal. It really is. And if I had children and I wanted to take them for a walk through a park, I'd be afraid to walk through here by myself with my children.
Do you think it's a breakdown?
Well, this here really cracks me up. They're talking about, you know, the Indians and this and that and Native Americans, and none of them are Native Americans.
Yeah.
They're all homeless.
Yeah. Do you think it's a breakdown of society, or do you think it's a breakdown of the government representatives, the people that we've put in charge? Are they focusing on the wrong things to help with?
Yes, definitely. And when I read the QOL website, their plan, that makes sense. The government's been working on this for God knows how many years, and it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. It's got to be done, and the QOL plan seems very logical to me.
So do you think that the people who are so against it, do you think that they're just part of the problem of keeping it this way?
Yeah, yes and no. They all have their own ideas that we should take them and build hotels and apartment houses and enable them and keep enabling them. And that is the biggest problem. As long as you keep enabling them, they're going to sit back. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be the ones that's going to be supporting them. When I was young, my shop teacher told me one day, 25% of the people would support 75% of the people. And I sat down and thought about that and said, I'll be damned if I'm going to be that 25%.
Thank you.
Trash and stuff is thrown by the people. Then I've been out here for 5 years, you know, and I finally.
The homeless really want your help.
Well, I'm here to help them. You know, get off the streets, Mom. She works for the city. She works for the state.
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, and she works this day, my daughter-in-law, and my kids took me off the street. My son got shot. I was out here, just like everybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad thing. And they put those 290.
That's because you encourage them to do what they're doing.
Really, how did I do that?
Because you enable them.
Really? How?
Yeah, you enable them.
I just think that, you know, if they make more apartments like they're making, or the one on State Street. I applied for it. I live with my kids. I got 7 kids. I got one shot from an officer, and it took me in. After 5 years, I was out there. I didn't care anymore.
And now she has. It's her and another disabled son, and there's nowhere for them to go. They're both on Social Security. Everybody's like, oh, you have to make 2 times the amount of rent they only bring in together. Oh, I did the math. It was like 15 something. And I've been trying to get her apartment with her and her handicapped son. Nobody will rent to them, you know? So it's like, I think that I want to say all these people have drug issues or mental health issues. It's not just that. It's that there's some people that have, like, you know, other things that had happened to them, and there's nowhere for them to go.
So what would you say to city and county representatives who have sat on this issue for, and I'm not even saying just Sheevy, but even Bob Cashel, the shelter wasn't built properly. It wasn't built big enough. I mean, when you have to put an overflow shelter in place.
I lived over on Record Street with a friend of mine. I mean, I lived homeless, and I would have a lot of friends. I knew a lot of people, and I would go to their homes. You know, mm-hmm. I had a son in a handicap in a wheelchair. They need to build more of like they did on State Street. I was called. I called the places, and they accepted me, but it could only be for one person. I couldn't leave my son behind. My kids work, and I can't. I'm not going to put him in a shelter. I'm not going to put him in a home.
So they wouldn't, for one person.
For me,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they said it was a one small room, and you had to share a bathroom with 45 people or something like that. And so I was qualified for it, and I had the $400 to pay for my rent, but I couldn't leave my son behind.
What would you want to see the city or the county do?
I think that
they should make more housing for disabilities.
Yeah.
I think I know that they have all kinds of income-based apartments and Section 8, but even when they get their voucher, it's almost impossible to find an apartment that's open that takes that Section 8.
Right.
They need to make one specifically for people on disability.
So there you have it. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. We've got more to go. Even the people who were down there who were supportive, we'll just put it that way, of the people living along the river, wouldn't even let people, the last woman who was speaking, wouldn't even let people tell their stories without interrupting. Wouldn't let them tell people how they were homeless, how they were living there, and that the options need to be this or that. Every story is different. As you'll hear further in the show, we actually had a city representative show up. Well, not really a city representative, just a city council person. And it wasn't even her ward that we were in. Why? Because it's a citywide issue. It's along the Truckee River. It's down in Damani Ranch. It's heading to Douglas County. It's spreading out. I don't know how the word got out, but the word has gotten out to other states that we don't enforce the laws here. So basically, if you want to be free to live wherever you want to live, squat wherever you want to squat, take a squat wherever you want to squat, like San Francisco, then go to Northern Nevada, go to Reno. They're cool with it there. Well, I'm here to let you know we're not cool with it. For all the people, for the two gentlemen who were trying to get rid of us, overshadow us, be the ones who keep going on that, you know, Paul White is a vigilante and he's just trying to cause problems for these people. They're the biggest problems. because they would rather shout down people who are trying to make a difference than actually do something. He said he was down there along the river cleaning it and picking up trash. But from what we saw, he's not doing a very good job of it. Police did have to come out on that very first segment. We had a gentleman out there with a makeshift machete who was threatening people, so we felt we needed a little bit of backup, and they arrived. But we weren't standing around harassing people. We were actually walking the trail, or trying to walk the trail, but they kept trying to interject. Please stick around. Listen to the people who are on next. Listen to what happens next. If you weren't able to be there on Saturday, we just walked the trail at Broadhead Park. We're bringing you the sights and the sounds, maybe some solutions. People had good ideas. But if you don't act now, if you don't start sending those emails, the phone calls, whatever it takes, then we are well on our way to having poop maps like San Francisco and having no-go zones. Well, for a lot of people, Broadhead Park is already a no-go zone. We'll be right back on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM KSVL. All of Northern Nevada is what Evans Broadcast Company is covering, because we care about all of Northern Nevada. It's the Monica Jay Show on 99.1. FM Talk. It's all of Northern Nevada covered by the Monica Jay Show. Let's go back to the Truckee River.
Look, Bonnie Weber came out. This is great. Hi, Bonnie. So many people out here today. I'm very impressed with the 30 people that have showed up to take this walk. Yes. And we've heard arguments that this area isn't open to the public, that it's their area, it's their property.
These folks out here that are living.
Did you by chance talk to Paul from QOL about the water quality?
Yes, I did. I heard about the tests.
And this,
not good. This is awful.
Yeah, this is our drinking water right here. And yet we see in camps, this one across from us, they're obviously doing laundry. We've seen people using it as their toilet.
Yes, it is.
What do we do with enforcement? Is this a city problem? Is it a county problem?
I think it's all of our problem. Yeah. I think we all need to work together on this. And it's something that I think is very, very important. This is real. What you're seeing is real, and it's happening every day. When I walk downtown, I see it all the time. Monica, and now that I've been in office almost a year, I have seen more than I want to see, obviously. And I think that, first of all, at the city of Reno, we have to have stronger laws. And I've been working on some of those and working with the chief.
So you don't think it's just enforcing the law? I mean, we have people with that. They keep going back to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and their decision. But why can't people be cited for vagrancy of just trash and then put
sleeping in a park?
And then
you're
put
not allowed to
work.
Sleep in a park.
I know we have a veterans court now, but do we need a homeless court?
I don't think we need a homeless court. What I think we need to do is touch each one of these people. Every one of them have different issues going on. And I'm hoping that in the very near future that, you know, the census is coming up. With the census and doing something in our plaza and have warming tents and take one group at a time, like go to a park, have law enforcement bring out that group. So maybe you have 25, 30 in a situation like this, they clean it up. Because otherwise, if you just go down here and you start saying, okay, we're moving you, where are we going to move? How much is it going to cost to do this?
And you saw that family just ride by, the two babies.
I know,
and
people don't even want to ride by any longer.
Yeah. They don't feel safe.
I've had so many people share that with me that it's just so scary. So I've heard that the mayor may have some plan here shortly, but it's all short term. I think what we need to do is meet the people where they're at and get them into if they have mental health issues, we need to get them to a mental health thing. If they're criminals, we need to put them in the jail.
There's so much, Bonnie, and it's just it's gone on for so long.
It's increasingly getting worse.
Exactly, and it's just getting worse. So it's like this is the stopping point. From here on out, we've got to stop talking. We've got to stop complaining. Something has to be done.
There are so many people out here, and I've asked about how many people are out here. I would have to say there's more than 400 or 500 people. And our police chief says that is pretty much in the city of Reno's area. 400.
I mean, look at what we've just passed here on the river.
I'm thinking the numbers may not be that. Well, Monica,
but it's happening
look at this.
Too much.
Look at this. We're standing here, and look at all these apartments that have to see this, hear this. They can't even come out and enjoy.
Yeah.
They're living here. It is truly sad. There's a lot of different things that we've been working on. We've been talking about housing. All the entities are working on affordable housing. Well, you know how that is. I mean, we can't even talk about affordable housing for these folks. I think the biggest thing for me...
This isn't affordable housing. This is assisted housing because...
They have to learn. They have to come back and they have to be able to be... There's many kinds of housing, though. My goal is like the churches have helped. It takes more than that.
If people have helped, how do we keep getting worse?
Yes.
How does it keep increasing? Bonnie, are we putting too many other things ahead of this issue? Because when you hear about the meetings, whether it be the city council or the commission, and the things that they're talking about, should this not be a top priority?
I believe it is. But you know what? I serve with 6 other people.
Yeah.
If our Reno PD goes in and brings these people out of a camp, it requires so much time. And they have to do bookings and they have to do all that. My goal is not every one of them are criminals. We need to meet each person where they're at and find out where they need to be.
Do they need to be in a mental... doing a little bit more? I mean, walking by all the trash.
We don't have the facilities to put people in the jail if that's where they need to be.
Former law enforcement and I were speaking, and it's not necessarily that they should have to go into the jail.
No.
You know, having a supplementary location.
Yes.
Back in my day, you know, we called it the drunk tank or...
Exactly.
You know, some place that the homeless can be taken, because you have to wonder how many people are out here that, because they've been allowed to do this, they just want to keep doing it. They don't want that assistance.
Well, this is my new motto. It's not okay to be homeless. By our means, by the city of Reno's means, or city of Sparks, or Truckee Meadows, or Washoe County, it's not okay to be homeless, because that isn't good for any community. And we need to send the message to the people that are living on the river, this is not okay. We need to get together. I really do want to use retired citizens that have been in law enforcement and health department. There are so many people that you, for example, to come out and start working with law enforcement and with our social services and with all the programs, you know, Northern Nevada Hopes, the veterans. We have to do something with each person. We need to find a place in the community.
Well, and we have to do it without raising taxes.
Exactly.
Without putting the burden on the community already, because
right.
they are helping so much. They're helping with food and clothing drives. They're helping the mission collect items.
Right. We need to be united. We need to all know what the other person is doing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like in a government. If Burning Man can set up a city...
Don't get me started on Burning Man, because they leave their trash behind half the time. Or they leave it out in our desert.
They leave it here.
So that's not always a great example.
But they set up a city, is my point.
Coordination of efforts.
Yeah,
it's coordination of efforts. Yeah. And Bonnie, I appreciate you coming out and taking this walk with us, because this isn't even your ward.
It's not, but it's a city issue.
Yeah.
And it's a city issue throughout all the wards.
Yeah, because the encampments are growing.
They are.
Through all of the wards. When we look at problems like this, is this the one that people don't want to tackle because there are so many heated emotions involved in it?
Well, you think about our community. There's people that are really angry and say, just arrest everyone and take them away. Well, you can do that, but it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And again, I think these people are human beings. And sure, we've allowed them to do this. And that's why I say we need to meet each person.
Look at how beautiful this is.
I know, it's gorgeous.
You know, we have such a treasure going through the center of town.
We do.
The expediency at this point, I think, is what everyone is looking at. Because, as you have mentioned earlier, the problem has just grown. I mentioned it
probably about 3 years back when I saw a man defecating on the street, just wide out in the open, that, yeah, we are turning into San Francisco. We can't allow that to happen. Hi, would you mind talking for a minute?
Sure.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Adam.
Adam, why did you come out here and walk with us today?
Multiple reasons. Biggest thing is we want our river back.
We saw a couple of people riding and jogging while we were out here today. So that was kind of thrown back at us that, see, people aren't afraid to come down here, even though we've seen someplace close to 30 unmaintained encampments. Do you think that's fair to say that it's safe to come down here?
No, because I have firsthand experience and I don't feel safe down here.
Can I ask what firsthand experience means? Or were you homeless at one time? Or
I fished the river with my son, and the biggest thing is a lot of syringes on the river. I don't want my son to step on one.
So you fished the river. We just got results back that the E. coli, coliform, and all the other contaminants are extremely high. How do you feel about that?
It's very scary.
It's catch and release, right?
Yeah, I would never eat anything through the city of Reno. Now, fishing above city of Reno, I would keep fish all day long. Another thing on why I'm out here is people shouldn't have to live like this. And apparently there's problems with the shelters. So I'm here to gain knowledge and get the facts and help in any way I can.
Did you notice the anger on us being out here just talking about the issue? Did you notice the anger directed at people trying to do something?
Yes, and one of the quotes the guy said is, "This is our land. This land was seized. It's everybody's land to enjoy."
Point 3 FM Talk, KKFT.
We broadcast all through Northern Nevada on Evans Broadcast Company. It's the Monica Jay Show, like the man said, 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley on KSVL, and KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And it was an interesting Saturday. I had you on my mind the whole time because this isn't a downtown City of Reno issue. It is entire Northern Nevada issue. It's called enforcing the law so we don't turn into California. And the only way that it's going to happen is if you say something. So let's go back to the Truckee River. Here with Paul White, Quality of Life Reno, and boy, you're a popular guy down here on the river, especially in this area. You even have signs made in your honor.
Yeah, and you know, Monica, the sad part is that they don't realize there's no place in town would do more for the ones who are serious about changing than we would. But there's also nobody who'd do more to separate the scammers from the legitimate ones and run them out of there.
Now, this part of the river that we're walking through right now, this actually looks pretty clean.
Well, what this is, we're up off the river here about 100 yards, and this is like the back road. There's some industrial companies, as you can see in here. And then as we get back up here toward Wells again, you'll see where the tents start. And down below us on the bank that we can't see are more. But they've come through here and cleaned up a lot of things and moved a lot of tents and a lot of burned out cars just in the last 7 to 10 days that they knew this was coming.
So, Bonnie, do you know Paul from
yes,
QOL?
I do.
Okay.
Sure.
Bonnie, I mean, honestly, from your opinion in working with Paul, even just being out here today, is he a vigilante?
Not at all.
No.
I do not think. I think he's somebody that's passionate about homelessness, especially.
Absolutely. And what wonderful news we heard, Monica, from talking with Bonnie this morning is that she said, you know, why don't the people that really care about getting this thing right get together and work together and start getting some results?
Now, does Bonnie realize that you have attempted to talk with CHAB many a times and do a presentation, and that you were actually scheduled to do a presentation with RAAF and you were canceled?
Right, but that's why we're so grateful to see Bonnie out here this morning, because now when somebody tries to say how unreasonable QOL is or I am, or it's not really a big deal, Bonnie can just tell what she saw and say, you know, I know Paul through various ways and I saw that myself, and there can't be any argument that this needs to be changed.
Well, and as we pass this, I find this hard to believe that supposedly this was cleaned up just the
right.
other day.
Right, and look at this coming up down here.
Yeah.
You got plenty coming up now.
It's both sides of the river, and this is just a very small part of the river. But, Paul, I know you had a meeting earlier with Bonnie, and you took a water sample recently of this area.
We did. We went out on Monday and took water samples of the Broadhead Park area, where the most intense problem with the homeless is. And the results came back from a lab, and the fecal matter, coliforms, and E. coli count were so high that the lab told us that their machinery could not even measure how out of control it was, and that you wouldn't want any amount of those things in your drinking water, and yet this was loaded with it. And they also said that it does not dilute. That means that these three things are flowing into the Glendale Street intake for our drinking water and continuing on down the river into Lake Pyramid.
Bonnie, this is the hard part of the conversation, because you get results from so many different organizations, TUMWA working with the city of Reno, always giving out pretty much raving reviews for our water. Is this possibly because Paul took a sample right here where it's happening, or?
Yes.
Well, by the time they get done
processing
it, Monica, they come out with a really good product. But here's the problem. People who are boating, fishing, irrigating with it, swimming in it.
That's a very good point.
In Lake Pyramid, right.
Good
None
point.
Of all of those are in this. We've had people tell us that police officers said to them they would never let their own children swim in the river here. How wrong is that? When this Truckee is such an incredible potential resource for Reno, that we've let it get this way.
Well, we spent a lot of money, too, on recreational activities like the Whitewater Park, and
exactly.
We have festivals on the river.
There's no doubt that there is a problem here. Without even doing testing, we all know that this is not conducive to a good community, a good city. It's not good for anyone. It's not good for the people that are doing this.
Yeah.
It's not good for the people that have to see it.
The thing, Monica, is that with anybody who is wanting food, employment, housing, mental health treatment, it's there in abundance. These people on the river, and again, 45 years of working with the homeless, I'd say there's not one person here we're seeing this morning. They're not homeless in terms of, gosh, I'm trying to get out of this. They're vagrant by choice.
Yes.
And they're hiding behind that homeless label. And that's the part that the city's got to be wise enough on to say, we've got all the compassion in the world for those who want help, but for those who don't want help, we're not going to allow you to ruin a valley of 500,000 for a couple hundred people that don't want to obey the law.
Bonnie, let me ask you that, because as we were being shouted at on the other side of the river, people were screaming, if you want to get put on a waiting list. Have you seen the numbers? What are the conditions really like with the shelter, with the different organizations that will do drug treatment, health counseling? Are there really just waiting lists?
I believe there are, honestly.
Well, I can help Bonnie with that one. We called around yesterday.
Oh, good.
And this is what really needs to be fixed. The city does not get that much money from the federal government to run that homeless shelter. If you saw the recent copy of the Reno Hot Sheet, we have a man who just came to town a few months ago out of 30 years in prison. And he said the homeless shelter is more violent and cold and ruthless than any prison he was ever in. He said virtually 100% of the people in there are under the influence, and 100% do not want to work. Now, he preferred living on the street for 2 weeks till it took him to get in a place. So what we found in calling around yesterday, Salvation Army and some of these other places that require you to be not under the influence when you go in, said, we've never been full.
Okay.
While the places that will take them drunk and crazy and violent are always full. Well, what's that tell us? If we'd get off the federal money, we could have requirements just like the Gospel Mission, which has a great program, just like Salvation Army, just like a lot of these halfway houses. But that's the key. We've got to simply get to where we have a standard. There just needs to be some intelligent leadership coming from the mayor's and city council's office and from the police department on this. And I say the police department, it's the chief. The officers absolutely want to enforce the law.
Okay, I'm gonna hop in here, because I believe our chief of police is a great person. I've worked with him now on this issue as well. Chief Soto is concerned. He's working on this, but his hands are tied. They're tied by the city council. And I don't believe our city council, and I'll speak for myself.
I'm glad you said that, because people think that I'm making this up when I say that.
I don't believe our city council will do what it takes to give the chief of police some of the hardcore decision-making and policies and change some of our laws. We have to step in.
We do have to step in. Log on to washoecounty.us, look up CHAB. That's the Community Homeless Advisory Board. The chair is Bob Lucy, the county commission. The vice chair is Neoma Jardin, council member of Reno. Marsha Burke-Bigler, Oscar Delgado, Christopher Dare, and Ed Lawson. They run that advisory board. Contact them and tell them that this cannot continue. On the line right now, 884-9910, is Paul White. Paul, were you happy with what we did on Saturday? Do you think it made a difference?
Well, I definitely do, Monica, and I think you being there with your show, you and Martin, made all the difference in the world. I think people are starting to wake up to this. It's unarguable. What Bonnie was just saying there, the council, the mayor canceled the city attorney's attempt to give a presentation to the council at a meeting a few weeks ago about how the Reno could join with many other cities who are plagued by homelessness to fight this Boise Martin ruling. And the mayor canceled it, didn't even want to hear it. Said, we don't even want to hear it, how to get a part of this. The idea, these groups can work together. But, Monica, the one mistake the city's making is believing that a mayor who caused this problem and a chief of police who has not been strong enough to stand up to her and tell her that he's going to enforce the law. That's what he's sworn to do. And with a city council person, with a city manager who's willing to do whatever the mayor says to shut up any council person who speaks up, those three individuals, the city is kidding themselves if they think this is ever going to be solved as long as those three individuals remain in office.
Well, Paul, we heard at the beginning of the show when we very first started our walk that people were angry that we were just now focusing on this problem and that a couple of these people had been out there for years. This is a problem that has been going on for years. This is not something that's new. Is there a way to do a temporary fix, like having a big abandoned lot or something and directing all of the people to this area that will hopefully be patrolled by the city and guarded and maintained if the shelter is full? Is that a temporary fix?
Well, no, what they've got, Monica, they don't need a temporary fix any more than they would need a temporary fix on what to do to enforce the law in any area in the community. You've simply got it's in our code and approved and written, and with the EPA and the tribal colonies involved also, it's 100% violating the law to have any campers there on that riverbank, that water source, and polluting it. And it is not the city council's responsibility or the community's or the police department's to tell people who have chosen to violate the law to create some other, to go into our pockets and collectively pay for somebody who, these people on the river are not people who can't do anything. They're people who have chosen not to. I mean, America, you don't have a right. The government doesn't have a right to run them down. The government has the obligation to enforce the law. What are they going to do when they get thrown out of there? Well, that's up to them. They can get in all the good programs that are available.
Paul, you took that water sample from just about the Glendale area?
No, I took it right from where we were, yeah, at the Broadhead Park.
Oh, okay, but it's going into the Glendale intake.
Correct.
At that area.
Correct.
Just got a picture a couple of hours ago from a listener, Michael, who was in that area just this morning, and there was a huge dumpster down there, and they were actually cleaning the area up, removing people, and law enforcement was there as well. Right there at the Glendale overpass.
Which is good, Monica, and it's just like Pickett Park. When I went by last week, the last time I saw it, it looked perfect. But here's the problem. We're not paying a police force in a city council, a police chief in a city council, especially the mayor. We're not paying them to do the right thing when they get caught and forced to. We're paying our taxes and working our jobs. Sure. And you know, there's a long story I won't bore you with called The Difference Between Doing Better and Doing Good. Is a little bit of pushing them to get things better, is that better down there at Broadhead on the river? Sure. Is it good? No. They have no business there. And this problem has exploded and become a problem under the mayor's tenure. It's going to remain one as long as she's mayor.
I liken it to PG&E. You know, PG&E customers have paid their bills for decades to make sure equipment was upgraded, that it was maintained, and yet now they're suffering because PG&E didn't do it, and they're having blackouts and fire destroying the entire state. So you have to keep up on it. Paul, thank you so much for the push that you've been doing and your involvement to keep it going. QOL-Reno.org. Find out how you can help. Paul White, thank you so much.
Thank you, Monica.
KKFT, it's the Monica Jay Show on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM KSVL in Smith and Mason Valley. This isn't just a downtown Reno problem. It's a Northern Nevada problem. Really, take a look in your neighborhood, because even when I drove out to Yerington a few days ago, guess what? I saw the trailers out there. And the squatters. So it is everywhere. Take charge. This is your community. 884-9910. Wrap up the show coming up after this on KKFT. And I'm a talker. Sometimes you can't shut me up. It's the Monica Jay Show on 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. A couple of quick email responses here. John, thank you for the kind words about the show today, walking along the Truckee River. John's response, a little bit of it, I can't read the whole email to you. The word is out to the people of how bad Reno is, and there is no amount of money spent on crummy artwork or lies politicians say that will change this until action is taken. I mean, honestly, I will not go to Reno for any reason unless I have to anymore. The crime and homeless problem are terrible. I'm not afraid to do so, but why should I give Reno any tax money and help pay them to be another San Francisco? Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Vance picked up on one of the comments about living conditions and what people have to go through. People gripe about sharing restroom facilities with 45 other people. Seriously, cry me a river. Try 4 showers, 10 basins, and 7 commodes with 102 other people in the birthing compartment for my department aboard the ship I volunteered to serve on twice. Yeah, our military has it a lot harder. Living in tents and being in battlefields and what they get to survive with. The homeless, the vagrants, whatever you want to call them, they get everything handed to them. So where is the breakdown? You choose where to put your resources. My choice is to hold elected representatives accountable. Have them stop with the artwork. Guess what? You have to make sacrifices to fix problems. What do you do in your household when there's not enough money to take a vacation, when there's not enough money to send the kids to college? You get another job. Maybe you work nights. Maybe you take a part-time job on the weekend. Maybe you cut back on expenses. You sacrifice for what needs to be done. So far, there hasn't been a whole lot of sacrifice. We just keep pushing things, kicking cans down the road. The sad part is these cans are human beings. So let's make a difference. Join me tomorrow. We're going to talk about waste management. We're going to talk about, what are ham radio operators going to do when they're kicked off all government-sustained land? It's going to be up to the private sector to make sure we have emergency backup systems. And what's going to happen when Nevada utilities turn into PG&E? High winds started a fire. Huh. Are we next for blackouts? Pay attention. See what's going on. I'll join you tomorrow. Please send me an email, monica@991fmtalk.com. If you didn't get to hear the most interesting part of my walk along the river, our very first segment at 10:45, check it out on our podcast at 991fmtalk.com. And they'll be up for you to listen to and share, hopefully, with your friends. Because it's all of us working together that's going to make this difference. Thank you to my team who helped me out. Thank you to all the people who came down, 30 or so people walking along the river, just finding out the truth. It's 99.1 FM Talk.